Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schunk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Back to basics. And first of all, we'd like to talk about the commandments in general, and then we'll tackle the first table. Remember, there's two tables to the commandments. The first table is the first three, which have to do with God, and then the next seven having to do with our neighbor. So this show, probably we're just going to get through the first three, and then you have something to look forward to. All right, so the commandments in general. What can we say about the commandments in general, Father Stephen Dominic?
Well, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are a way of summarizing the whole law of God. In one sense, to recite the whole law of God, you'd have to read the entire first five books of the Bible aloud, traditionally. And the rabbis have figured out, I think there's something like 613 commandments in the whole lot of them. So how do you summarize this? Or as one of the rabbis said, how can you recite the law of God for me standing on one leg? And one way to do it is to reduce it to the Ten Commandments, which are revealed at Sinai. And you can also look at the two great commandments, which our Lord talks about. You know, and in this sense, the Ten Commandments can be divided, as we said, into two tables. You know, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, and the first three traditional ones of to love God, to know God, worship God, and second to revere His word, His name. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. And the third is about worship and the keeping of the Sabbath. And then the other seven are all about keeping about your neighbor, and we'll do those at another time.
Right. So you can see how those correspond to the two great commandments that Jesus gave us: love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So that those you could say the Ten Commandments are a summary of the entire moral law, and the two great commandments, love God and neighbor, are a summary of the summary.
And then the purpose of them is to give to the people of Israel a holy way of life, okay? A life which, however, the commandments don't enable you to keep,
okay?
And that's why St. Paul says, you know, that people were never able to keep the commandments on their own.
Right.
And if you look at it as the way of righteousness, you're going to inevitably fail. Mm-hmm. For that, you need faith, and you need the completion of all this work in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So in one sense, Jesus shows us what the commandments are because he, in his own life, living the law, the will of his Father perfectly, incarnates all the commandments himself. So he is the fulfillment of the commandments and the law.
Right.
And we then find the commandments, I think, as a useful way to enter into a holy life, into the life of Jesus, because this is his life. You and I, for instance, if you're going to learn golf or basketball, you have to first want to enter into being a basketball player or golfer before you actually commit yourself to learning the rules of the game. But then learning the rules of the game are the next step.
And
the spiritual life is very much like that. If you come into Christ, eventually you have to find, well, what does it mean to follow Christ? Well, here's the beginning. This is the curbing on the road of virtue, in a sense.
Right, right. Yeah, I think those two really key points there, that number one, that we can't keep the commandments without God's grace, right? And this is why St. Paul says the letter kills, right? It kills in the sense that it condemns us, right? Because without the Spirit, we are unable to live up to what we should be, right? What God calls us to be. And that's why we need the Spirit, which, of course, God gives to every human being preeminently and fully through Jesus Christ, right? And then that second point I thought was really wonderful, that Jesus incarnates the commandments, right? He is the incarnation of the law. He is the Word made flesh. That he, in a sense, these commandments, which can seem perhaps abstract or unrealistic or so far above us, he brings them down to us and shows us what this life looks like lived out, right? Father Jerome, any brilliant insights on any of these things?
Just a few. No. The other day I was just thinking about what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, which I just like to tie in because it just happens to be on my mind. But, he says, Jews demand signs, Greek seeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And I was just thinking back on, ancient Greece and everything and how they sought wisdom. And it began with Socrates seeking wisdom. And he had that injunction, know thyself, the unexamined life is not worth living. And they were seeking, how can we be like the best human beings we could be? And, it culminated, I think, with the Nicomachean Ethics of Aristotle, with, and he's propounding this life of virtue as the highest goal any human being can have. And it's not complete. You don't have, it's not complete, but it's really great. Great work, obviously. And, so few even come up to that point, But the Ten Commandments are revealed by God. As St. Thomas says, the first principles of the moral law and wisdom concerning what the moral law is, and just that this is what we should really strive for more than anything else. Mm. So if you come up with that as like the goal of their life, and even if they do, what does it entail? As St. Thomas says, wisdom concerning these things is obtained by the few who have enough time to think about it and aren't just working to make a living. And who have the ability to come up with these conclusions. It's obtained by very few after a long time with the admixture of error. So,
and this is why God reveals the moral law to
us. Exactly, yeah.
Because otherwise, it would take a long time and we would mess it up quite a bit. Right?
Right.
Even though the moral law is in principle accessible to human reason, right? So the Ten Commandments, you might say, strictly speaking, in that sense, didn't need to be revealed because the moral law is accessible to human reason, but not easily, right?
Right?
And not promptly. So God needs to reveal the moral law to us in this succinct way so that we're clear about it.
But especially the first three. I mean, God is a personal God who wants to enter into a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that part isn't accessible to human reason, and that he is, he'll ultimately reveal himself as a trinity of persons, but that, he is a God who is going to dialogue with us, that he's that kind of God, with a name that is holy and who wants us to enter into worship with him and dialogue in all these ways that was totally inaccessible to reason.
Right.
One of the things that strikes me about many of the ancient pagans is that, for instance, the Stoic philosophers, like the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, that they have a vision of human virtue, but it's so bleak.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do your duty in the face of a stupid and uncomprehending world, and just have the satisfaction that you're being virtuous, even if nobody is. and then you die like everybody else. So as Ecclesiastes says, all vanity of vanity is always vanity and chasing after wind. And so I think one of the things that the first table opens up is precisely this relationship with a God who in the Old Testament is hidden even as he's being revealed. I mean, we don't have the revelation of the inner life of God, the life of the Trinity, until the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
until Jesus. But then that puts a whole new light, I think, on these first three commandments. to, in one sense, it's Jesus who reveals the Father, who is the God of Israel, who rescued the people, who heals us, gives us a destiny beyond this universe. You know, and then the name by which we, and the names by which we know God are holy. They are God's names. They belong to Him. They are not to be abused. And this includes the name of the Trinity, includes, you know, the divine, other divine references. It includes the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Holy Spirit, who makes possible a worship in spirit and truth. You know, this is, I think this is the, in the third commandment, we see Him active. Now, as I said, at Sinai, all this was hidden. This is all under a veil, as St. Paul says. But in the present age of grace, we have come, we've been granted to come to know these. And so I think this first table, as you said, Jerome, does open us up to a uniquely personal relationship with God in His persons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a completely different kind of possibility of religion than the pagans could have ever had. Although I think it's interesting that many of the early Christian apologists, like Justin the Martyr, when they taught Christianity to people to their own age, they did so precisely as philosophy, even taking on the traditional garb of philosophers as they taught.
Right, right. Yeah.
This is a way of wisdom.
Well, right, and I think that's a good point that the Ten Commandments mean more to us now, having been given the revelation of Jesus Christ, than they did when they were originally given, right? We have a deeper insight into what they mean, their fullness, through Christ, because He is the fullness of the law. Yes, yes. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schunk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler. And we've been discussing the Ten Commandments. I think one thing to emphasize, especially as Dominican friars, about the commandments is that these are meant to make us happy, right? That's something that perhaps is not said often enough, that the commandments are not, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the commandments are not meant to be burdensome, although they are burdensome to our fallen human nature. But ultimately, they are meant to be fulfill our human nature, to make us happy in the deepest sense of the word. That's especially important because there can be a tendency to look upon the commandments as only a series of prohibitions, mm-hmm. right? Only a series of no's, only a series of negatives. And we have to see that there's a bigger yes behind each one of those prohibitions.
Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, I think, you know, one of the things that for me the commandments are, they're the curbing of the road of virtue. They are the way by when enters into the beginnings of the practice of a life with God. And that's can sometimes tedious. Beginnings are tedious. I remember when I was first learning a musical instrument, having to practice scales interminably.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my brother on his accordion playing the pony polka for a competition practice endlessly. That is still a tune I cannot listen to without strong emotion. But I do think that tediousness, as you grow into it, becomes easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think the saints worry about transgressing the commandments on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, I mean, when I began to drive, you know, I was paying attention to the curbing of the road. How far is the car away from it? I don't want to bang the tires on it. But when now I don't drive that way anymore. I mean, I just set my sights on my horizon and I go. And I think that comes with practice. And in the similar way, when we're new at the Christian life, that's where it's useful. I mean, St. Thomas says that laws are useful for beginners and for lawbreakers because they tell you when you actually run over the curb.
Right, right. Well, let's dig into this first table a little bit. So the first three commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and have no gods other gods before him. The second one, keep holy his name, do not take his name in vain. And the third one, keep holy the Sabbath. Father Stephen Dominic, you had this neat correspondence between the first three and the Trinity. Could
right.
you expand on that?
Well, I was thinking, you know, the one who is revealed at Sinai and in Jesus Christ is the Father, you know, and he is the God of Israel. This is the one who really is, not the God of our imaginations, not the God we wish we were. I mean, my favorite idolatry is pride, I find. But you can apply identification to the Father, I think, to the first commandment in a strong way. And then the one who reveals relationship with God is Jesus, and it's through the names. Mm. When a person gives you their name, it's an invitation to relationship. So, and this, you see a progression in the revelation of the divine names to the Old Testament. You see this in the culmination in the giving of, by heaven to earth, of the name by which salvation shall be found. In his name, Yeshua, Jesus, that means God saves, God heals. And the Holy Spirit, we find the work of Christ continuing our personal connection to the Trinity in the power of the Holy Spirit who rests upon Holy Church. And this is seen especially in the way we live a holy life, and especially in the way we worship. Hmm. You know, the possibility of joining earth to heaven in ourselves as well as in Christ when we come together as the sacred assembly that joins heaven and earth.
Right.
Not just us, but the angels and saints together in one great act of worship centered on the cross of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yes, we can't really worship God without God's help, right? Without the Spirit. I just thought that's a really beautiful way of remembering the order of the first three commandments. So the Father, we might say, is characteristic of the Father is the supremacy of God, right? And the so that would be, have no other gods before me. The Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is the Word, right? The name, so keep holy his name. And the third person, the Holy Spirit, is the one who allows us to worship God in spirit and in truth, keep holy the Sabbath, right? I just wanted to start with that because that's really, I had never heard that before. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall worship me with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Father Jerome, anything to say about this?
Just going back to, you know, what we were saying again about, you know, we mentioned Ecclesiastes and the Greeks seeking wisdom and just the impact of this, which I think we can easily miss because, you know, we're taught the Ten Commandments, you know, at a young age. And I think this is just a huge point that can so easily be missed. I mean, God is finally revealing to mankind the purpose for which he created mankind. And it was something that could not be known otherwise. I'm reminded of what Aristotle says in one of his works. He said, you know, every part of our body has a purpose. Our eyes are obviously for seeing, our ears are for hearing and everything. But could it be that every part of us has a purpose, but we ourselves don't have a purpose? He's like, what is our purpose? You know, now he goes on to say, basically, the best thing you can do is, yes, as Father Stephen Dominic said, like, live a life of virtue and then you die, right? But and he doesn't dwell on that because it's painful to dwell on that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Ecclesiastes does. And it's like, what is the purpose? The sun rises, the sun sets, you know, all the waters of the rivers fill up the ocean. It never fills up. Things just go around and around and around. And there's, what is the final cause? What is the purpose? And no one knows that. Hmm. And then finally, with this first commandment, God reveals himself to Moses and says, okay, here's the purpose for which I created you and the whole universe. And it's to enter into a relationship of love with me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now the Jews did not know this until, it wasn't until really the New Testament they were beginning to realize at the end of the Old Testament, but that it's not just this life, but it's the life after this one as well for all eternity. But finally, the purpose is revealed: to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul, now and forever, to enter into that relationship.
Right. So this kind of sets the stage for all of the commandments that were meant for beatitude, were meant for friendship with God. And as you say, Father Jerome, we don't really fully understand what that means until Christ reveals it.
I remember when I was younger, taking a slightly different tack, I remember thinking, well, idolatry isn't really a problem in our age, is it? You know, and of course, with the growth of neo-pagans, we do have formal idolatries. But I've always thought that the real most popular idolatry that I see in our culture is substituting myself for God in the position he should be. You know, who is the one who shapes reality? Who's the one who makes the most important choices for my life? Who is the one who is in control? You know, I got this. You know, right. I got this. No, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and we need, and this is why this is the first and most important of commandments, to realize that without God we lack, yes, lack power. We're hopeless. And we need a Savior.
Yes.
And that opens you up, of course, to the next step.
Surrendering to God, yeah. Good, yes. Now the second, keep holy the name of God. Thoughts on this one, Father Stephen Dominic?
Well, I mean, you can look at this as against cursing, but I think it's more profound than this. Mm-hmm. Your names are about relationships. You know, it's about, if I give my name to you, it matters how I relate. Am I Father Hayes? Am I Brother Stephen? Am I Steve, for instance, which nobody but my mother ever called me? You know, the names are about relationships.
I'm going to start calling you that.
Names are about relationships. And so then keeping holy the name of the God is to reverence that which is not your own, first of all, because I think that's basically the fundamental meaning of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means it belongs to God. Don't mess with it except in terms as he asks you to.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how we come to know God personally. And so, like, one thing is shaping God according to our own ideas. And this, like, I mean, people who have difficulty with the names of the Trinity, for instance, and invent their own. I mean, it's sort of like me inventing a name for you, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I had a bully when I was growing up, and his name was Charles, and I've never been comfortable with people named Charles again, so I'm going to call you Agamemnon. That's just crazy talk. But we do this with God.
Right.
We're not comfortable with fatherhood or something like this. And anyway, but this is where God begins to open up relationship by which we can know him. And I do think especially the name of Jesus is something we can come to a deeper appreciation of. Is the one through whom we invoke this personal relationship with the Trinity in our prayer. And that's why this name needs to be kept holy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, in case anyone's wondering what Father Stephen Dominic's referring to, you know, some people will refer to the Trinity as Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier.
That's one version.
Yeah, which is a really, it's not only is it kind of insulting, but it's also insulting because you're not even referring to him by a name. You're referring to him by a function, right?
Right.
Which is like me referring to you, Father Stephen Dominic, as priest, right?
Right.
I just called you priest all the time, right? So God has given us his name, right? And so we need to use that name, the one he has given us, out of love and reverence. Lastly, the third, for this show, commandment, the last commandment of the first table, keep holy the Sabbath. Father Jerome?
Sure, yeah. You know, you had in different ways, you had sacrifice throughout, in like every religion. There that almost every religion that appeared, I don't know of any that didn't have sacrifice. And but we don't have much time, but for the first time, you know, God is revealing in this personal relationship, he personally reveals himself. He reveals his name. And he reveals to the people, this is how I would like to be worshipped. This is sacrifice I would like. So they know now. I mean, imagine being like, how do I even please this God, how do I offer worship that's pleasing to him? And he says, this is how I'd like it to be on this day. I'd like it to be just like this. And so
right.
Refreshing, that should be refreshing if you want to enter into a relationship with God.
Right. Consoling, because, yeah, as you say, we don't really know how to worship. God has to tell us.
It's about, I think this commandment is about discovering our own identity in God. I mean, in the Old Testament, we had the commandment was to refrain from work as God, who is free not to create or to create, refrain from work in the Genesis account. And so that was the shape of the Sabbath. In the present age of grace, on where the Sabbath is Sunday, because Christ, what Christ did was he rose up and joined to his disciples to eat and drink with him and to share his heart. And this is the shape of our worship. You know, this is the shape of our Sunday in the present age. We have everything that is included in that. This is also where freedom is experienced, depth, and a communion with God and one each other, because he doesn't save us by ourselves. He saves us as a body,
right,
as a spouse.
Right, yes. Well, as usual, there's so much more we could say, especially these first three commandments. You know, each one of them is so deep. Maybe for another show, though. So next time, we'll be talking about the second table of commandments, those having to do with love of neighbor. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Charles Schonk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler. Let's end now with our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Son.